Well, you know, sometimes pastors even dream about preaching. Now, this week, that's exactly what it is. You know, every once in a while, I take a nap. Well, I was dreaming that I was preaching. And right here. And as I was just about ready, but not quite finished, everybody just got up and started to leave. It was exactly 12 o'clock. I said to the people, now I said to my mother-in-law this week, Pastor Steve wouldn't appreciate this a bit, but I said to them, okay, go ahead and leave. Just don't bother to come back. Now we need to pray for Pastor Steve. He's going to be back next Sunday, right? And who else is going to be here next Sunday? Come on. Who else? You are, right? That's right. We're going to be here to welcome. I told my mother-in-law, you know, the bad thing about sometimes being a retired pastor is I'm not always here either. And I know somebody said, where you at? Well, next Sunday I'll be in Madison Avenue, so you'll know where I'm at, all right? But God is so good. Now, I know some of us have some special needs, right? You got some special needs in your life. And I want to take just a moment and let's just ask God to meet the needs, all right? Meet the needs. I do not know all of your needs. I don't know what your personal concerns are. But God does. God does. And I'm going to ask Brother Bill Forrest if he'll just lead us in prayer. I know Bill's got some needs too. But I'm going to ask him to pray for all of us. All right, Bill? If you open your Bibles to the 14th chapter of John. John 14, probably one of the most remembered portions of the book of John, other than John 3:16. But I want you to listen to this personal word to you and me as to the disciple. Listen. Now, this is very personal. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Now, if there's somebody here like Thomas, listen up. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Heaven, Jesus is saying, is real. And it's real for all who are living in anticipation and expectation through Christ. That's what he's saying. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. What had happened just prior to these words? Jesus had been talking about his own imminent death. He was going to die. And it was not going to be a very beautiful picture of death. He was going to be crucified. And he said to his disciples as they were preparing, he said, now where I am going, you cannot now go. Notice he said, you can't go now. He didn't say they couldn't go. He just said, not now. You cannot go. Now you remember that's where Peter decided, hey, I'll go wherever you go. Knowing that it was going to mean death for Jesus. And that's where Peter was told, no, not yet. That's not going to happen. And Jesus immediately then started talking about heaven. Heaven. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Speaking to the disciples and speaking to you, you and me. Let not your heart be troubled. Heaven is real. Heaven is real, and he wanted us to know that. There's a place not only called heaven, there is a place of heaven. And you see, it's a real place populated by God's people, by believers in the Lord Jesus. It's real. And there's where God rules and reigns from. Yes, he's everywhere. The Bible teaches that through his Spirit, he's right here, and he lives within his believers. But from heaven, he rules and reigns. It's a place of beauty and delight that's beyond description. Though in a moment we will hear just a little of the description from the Apostle John as he records what he saw. Well, here's the wonderful part. Jesus is making preparations for you. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus is in heaven right now making preparations? Preparations for the arriving guests. The question is, are you on the guest book of the King of Heaven? Is your name recorded in the reservation book? If not, today's the day to make certain. Today's the day. For you have been invited to spend eternity in heaven. You've been invited to spend eternity in heaven. However, and take note of this, accommodations are limited to those who have that reservation. It's limited to those who have the reservation. They're the only ones that are going to enter heaven. Now, I know some of you remember, it hasn't been too long since I shared this word. But you may recall that there was a gentleman who was teaching a Sunday school class of young boys. And so he was talking to them about salvation and how they may be saved. And so he asked them, he said, how or what does a person need to do to go to heaven? And immediately one little boy said, well, you have to go to church and Sunday school. Another one said, be kind to one another. And another said, well, obey your parents. And the teacher said, well, that's all well and good. Can anybody think of something else? And so one little boy immediately blurted out, yes, you must die. You must die. Well, that wasn't exactly the answer he was looking for, but you know what? That's what? True, is it not? There's not going to be anybody in this flesh that we're sitting here today looking the same in heaven. Praise God. We're going to have a new body and look a lot better. Okay? We're going to have a new body in heaven. You see, Jesus understood that as he was talking about his own death and the fact that they knew that they too were going to die, that death was troubling. Death was troubling to them. See, the death of a loved one, the death of a friend, you know, contemplating our own personal death can be very troubling at times. The reason is not necessarily because we fear death, but we fear and are troubled by the process. Tell me if you would like to lay in the hospital for 5 months like my friend D.F. Halliburton. In and out of intensive care, having his body sliced up and tubes running out. You think you'd like to look forward to that? I don't. And I don't think many other people. And the idea of dying is troubling. That's why Jesus said that I want you to understand you can trust me. You can trust me. See, here he does not deal with all the aspects of death and dying. He just does. He really just deals with one thing, and that's what happens hereafter. You know, many times people are saying, well, what does happen? Does the body just decay and there's no more? That's it? Or do we go to purgatory and hope somebody can pray us out? What happens? Do we go to hell? Do we go to heaven? Well, Jesus wanted to let people know that there's something wonderful beyond the grave for those who love him and trust him. See, Jesus wanted to convey to the disciples, and he wants to convey to you and to me this morning, that death need not be frightening nor absent of hope. Need not be frightening nor absent of hope. Heaven is available, Jesus is saying. He said, just trust me. Trust me. That's what he's saying in verse 1. Listen again. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, trust me. Trust me. And you know, as I've already indicated, to say that dealing with death cannot be troubling, we know that's to try to deny that fact is truly to be dishonest, is it not? We're dishonest if we would say we're not concerned about it. I think about right now, a pastor, brother, Wallace Watley. Some of you have heard me talk about Nell. Nell had heart surgery a little over a month ago. She's back in the hospital, you see, again. Going to have probably some more. She just had surgery. And you can't help but think about it. Your loved one. Think about it. And see, it's troubling. And it's to say it isn't is to be dishonest. And Jesus knows. See, that's a good thing. Jesus knows your concerns. He knows your fears. That's why he said, trust me. Trust me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, even when we're in the hospital, he's right there with us. And even when we're at that last stage and we're standing with someone who's going through that valley, he promises never to leave us, but to always be with us, to bring peace and comfort. You see, Jesus also assures us. He assures us that heaven is real and it's waiting for those who trust him. It's waiting right now. See, heaven is where God rules and reigns. So when we arrive in heaven, we're going to be with God the Father and with Christ the Son. And he assures us there's ample room. Have you ever worried about the house that you may be moving into? Is there going to be enough room? Well, some of us have got way too much room, right? More room than we need, and we even rent storage places for our places. But Jesus said you don't have to worry about heaven running out of room because there's plenty of room. And I know in the book of Revelation it even talks about the measurements of the new city, Jerusalem. I don't worry about the measurements because Jesus said there's ample room for all. Listen to what he says in verse 2. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And then he said, if it were not so, I'd have told you. He said, I would have told you. That's the kind of Savior we have. He's not somebody who leads us in darkness, but leads us in light. And he said, I would have told you if there was not plenty of room. And oh my, what a place. What a place of splendor and magnificence. No one has ever seen heaven and come back. Oh, I know about the books. And I know about those experiences people talk about. But nobody's ever been to heaven and come back to tell us. But John got a little look at heaven. And I'd like to read you what he recorded. He wasn't in heaven, he just got a vision. A vision. And this is what he said. He said, the walls was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city wall were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chryophase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made with one single pearl. And the great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its light. Wow, what a place heaven is. And listen, it's not on a place of beauty, but it's a place where none of the things that bother you today, none of the pain, none of the anguish, is going to be present. Listen to what we find also in the book of Revelation. As we read in Revelation 21, and he shall wipe away every tear. Some of you may have cried this week. But listen, every tear will be wiped away. And there will be no longer any more death. Don't have to worry about that child's death. Don't have to worry about a husband or wife, friend. He said, there will be no longer mourning or crying or pain. No more aches, thank God. And the first things have passed away. Now listen to this. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. You can trust Jesus because what he says is true and faithful. What a description. Heaven is truly beyond our imagination. That's the reason the Apostle Paul wrote, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has the mind of man conceived the things that God has prepared for him who love him. And listen, that's exactly what Jesus said, wasn't it? What did he say? He's preparing a place for us. Listen to verse 3 and 4. He said, if I go and prepare, or verse 2, and then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is preparing a place. Now remember, what did you note when I was reading? What did I emphasize when I was reading those six verses? What word? You. So who's he preparing a place for? You can say me now. Okay. But he also is, he's preparing one for you this morning. That's what he said. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And then one day, he said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Now, when you and I are going to heaven, we don't know. It may be through the doors of death, or it may be when he comes. But he's coming to receive us, to take us home. He is. So when death comes, we can rest assured he'll be there. Because, see, the Bible says that he will counsel us. Listen to what the psalmist declared. He said, with thy counsel, you will guide me, and afterwards receive me into glory. Receive me into glory. See, that's why David wrote Psalm 23. You may recall the words and probably can quote them. But you remember, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through, notice that, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have a question for you. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about you? What's your plan? Is your plan to also spend eternity in heaven? If not, today's the day to make the decision to do so, right now. Because, see, the question is, who will go to heaven? Who will go to heaven? Well, the Bible tells us some of those who won't. And I think it's good for us to understand who they are, because you may recall last Sunday I read this same verse, but I want to read it again, because sometimes we have a forgetfulness. But listen to what he says about those who will not be in heaven. He said, but the cowardly, the unbelieving. Now notice that. He puts the unbelieving right there in the list. The vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic art, and the idolaters, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of sulfur, burning sulfur. This is a second death. Now listen, to what verse 27 says. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. But I like those conjunctions. But he says, only those whose names are written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. I think the Bible is clear. The Bible is clear. Heaven is not going to be the home of everyone who's on earth today. It's going to be for those whose names are recorded in the indelible ink, in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That's who heaven is reserved for. Heaven's reserved for those who trust in Him. Reservations. How many of you have gone on trips and had the disappointing experience of finding all the motels and hotels full? I dare say if you've gone to a town that had conventions, that's what happened. You have to have reservations. Well, there's plenty of room in heaven, but you still have to have reservation. You have to have reservation. You say, well, how can I make reservation? How can I have this certainty in my heart and my head? How can I know for sure? Well, Jesus says, make reservations with me. Make reservations with me. You remember Thomas said, Lord, I don't really know. No, he said, we don't know where you're going. And Jesus responded, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. On another occasion, Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. And no one gets through the door into the Father except through Jesus. That's what he's saying. In other words, if you want to have absolute certainty of your reservation being secured and confirmed, it is through the Lord Jesus. It is trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. You see, the Apostle Peter said this way, there is salvation in none other. None other. For only in the name of Jesus can we be saved. Only in the name of Jesus. See, we find that most of us want to go to heaven. I mean, if I were to ask everybody here to hold up their hand that wants to go to heaven, I'd say it'd be pretty close to 100%. I'd say it'd be 100%. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Even your friends who don't talk about heaven or about the Lord, they want to go to heaven. Because nobody wants to go to hell. Remember the description of that last week? See, we want to go to heaven. But to go to heaven, we can only go through Jesus. Trusting Him as our Lord and Savior. Do you have a certainty in your heart today? Are you absolutely sure that when you lay your head on the pillow tonight, that if you were not to wake up in your bedroom, you'd wake up in heaven? You can have that certainty. You can have that assurance today by trusting the Lord. You say, well, how do I do that? You must repent of sin. Remember, we talked about sin, hell, and now heaven. Sin is real, and it invades our heart, and we're corrupted by it. But if we repent of our sin, confess it to the Lord Jesus, and ask Him, He will forgive. And when He forgives, He cleanses and removes that sin as far away as the east from the west, buries it in the deepest sea to remember it no more. And when He does that and forgives you, He gives you new life and the assurance of heaven. You can have that this morning. If you've never trusted Christ, if you've never come and said, Lord, I know I need forgiveness and cleansing, today's the day. Now's the time. Maybe you're here today and you just are not sure. You'd like to have absolute certainty in your heart. You come. We'll share with you because Nobody wants to miss heaven. Certainly not you, right? Certainly not you. See, one day, if you trust Him, one day you will die. One day you will pass through the valley. But thank God, that's when Jesus, from His Word, says, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That where I am, you may be also. And listen, folks, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Just one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase when we see Christ. Gracious and mighty God, I thank You so much for the Lord Jesus, for the promise of heaven, and Father, for the great and mighty privilege of having the Bible, which reveals His Word to us. And now, Lord, speak. Continue to speak to hearts, that we may trust You in Jesus' name.